From the KPIX 5 newsroom, this is Bay Area Nightbeat on KBCW.
Tonight on Nightbeat, a screw-up forces San Francisco police officers to retake a test they have already passed. But it only applies to bilingual officers.
It's a mistake that dates back 20 years. Nightbeat's Maria Medina joins us now with those details. Maria?
Yeah, you know, the Department of Human Resources says it lost the records for dozens of city and county employees, but we're learning it could be much more than that. And some officers say, how could that happen?
Hola. ¿Vera?
For San Francisco police officers who spoke another language, they took a test, and if they passed, they'd get a bilingual pay perk of $70 a month and would never have to take the test again.
And all of a sudden, they're being ordered to recertify, retake the test.
Or so they thought.
That their official files of some sort were lost.
The Department of Human Resources, the county agency that gives the test to nearly every San Francisco city and county employee, lost some of their records 20 years ago.
We did an audit in the spring of last year, and we found that we had a certain group of employees across the whole city for whom we didn't have certifications that they had passed the test.
Chief of Policy Susan Gard says from that audit last year, 17 SFPD employees, 12 of them officers, were told to retake the test or lose your bilingual pay.
One is too many. They shouldn't be subjected to having to recertify for something they've already done because somebody lost some paperwork.
But KPIX 5 is learning the number of missing records may be even broader. Several officers say the Department of Human Resources contacted them in 2015 because the agency lost their certifications and they were required to take the test again. And now some officers are giving DHR a failing grade in record keeping.
What are they doing to prevent this from happening again? So this doesn't happen 2 years from now or 3 years from now and somebody else is affected.
And the Department of Human Resources says its record keeping is much better than it was 20 years ago. They now have one database for all city and county employees. Live on the Nightbeat, I'm Maria Medina.
All right, Maria Medina, live for us there in San Francisco. Maria, we appreciate it. Thanks.
San Jose police made an arrest in a violent sexual assault. The attack happened behind Liberty Baptist Church on South King Road. Nightbeat's Joe Vasquez was the first to break the news and has the latest developments tonight. Joe?
Ken, according to San Jose police, this attack happened well after Sunday services, and both the attacker and the victim did not know each other.
They kind of just crossed paths, and he engaged her in conversation, and shortly after is when the incident occurred.
According to police, 20-year-old Esteban Mosqueda lured a 17-year-old girl into a secluded area behind Liberty Baptist Church in the 2700 block of South King Road. Around 6:30 Sunday evening, investigators say Mosqueda attacked her.
This is not two people who knew each other. This was random.
No, this is a completely a stranger abduction. The victim did not know the suspect in this case. He convinced her to go behind the church, and that's when he violently attacked her and sexually assaulted her.
Among the charges Mosqueda now faces, assault with a deadly weapon, sexual battery, and false imprisonment. I spoke with a church member who has viewed the surveillance video. He says it shows what appears to be a man and a woman talking, and then suddenly the male figure grabs the woman from behind and violently wrestles her to the ground. There's a gap in the video because the camera is only activated by motion sensor. The church member says the video later shows the teenager disrobed and the suspect leaving the scene. Police are praising the victim for bravely coming forward.
She's absolutely to be commended on just her strength in this throughout this whole ordeal. Very traumatic experience for someone to go through.
Late this evening, a woman who appears to know the suspect is defending him on Twitter. Quote, "It's not true, guys. We have proof of his whereabouts and are going to set this straight."
Police say they have evidence linking Mosqueda as the suspect. Reporting live on the Nightbeat from San Jose, I'm Joe Vasquez. Well, the campaign trail for Hayward City Council is turning a bit ugly for one Muslim candidate. As Nightbeat's Kristen Ayers finds out, she's become the target of racial remarks and other threats.
The signs are all over Hayward. They say no room for racism. But one woman running for city council says despite what it says, her campaign has become a target for hate.
We've had our car broken into. We've had yard signs stolen.
Aisha Wahab knew when she got into the race for Hayward City Council as an Afghan American millennial who had never held political office.
I've always been seen as an outsider. I was in foster care before I could tie my own shoes.
It would be an uphill battle.
There is no Afghan-American elected official in the entire United States. We are, you know, cracking that ceiling of acceptance.
But she didn't expect the kind of in-your-face racism that she says has plagued her campaign. Emails like this one with the subject line, Islam. I have one question for you. It reads, do you want to live by Sharia law? Wahab says that is just the beginning.
I think the big kicker for me was definitely when somebody asked me if I took money from ISIS.
Wahab says she's answered every question and replied to every email, but she says the hate has materialized in other ways as well. On Monday, one of her supporters, Patty Burton, claims she watched a man steal a campaign sign from her own lawn in broad daylight.
He just grabbed Aisha's sign. He pulled Aisha's sign out of the ground.
It's really disheartening to see that, especially in the Bay Area.
But it hasn't stopped Wahab's momentum. She's raised more money than any other candidate, and she says she's staying focused on her platform, expanding rent control, and advocating for affordable housing in Hayward. In a way, she says the Islamophobia has presented an opportunity.
I'm glad we can at least shed some light in some of the dark spots of Hayward to make sure that we can move forward and become a bigger and brighter city.
Hayward police took a report on that sign theft. They're also investigating a break-in of Wahab's car. So far, they've made no arrests. In Hayward, Kristen Ayers on the Night Beat.
A miracle in the South Bay tonight as a man struck by a train survives. It happened in Redwood City just after 4 o'clock. The man was responsive when authorities arrived at the scene and was rushed to a hospital. The extent of his injuries are unclear at this point. Officials say the man was trespassing and was on the Caltrain tracks at the Redwood City station. None of the 500 passengers on board that train were hurt.
Tonight, one man is in the hospital following a dramatic rescue out of Arizona. He has been trapped inside a mine shaft since Monday. Luckily, a passerby heard his cries for help. Emergency crews were at the scene all day today, working to pull him out from the 100-foot deep mine shaft. And just hours ago, he was successfully brought to the surface. Right now, no details on his injuries and no word yet on what caused him to fall inside.
Well, 29 years ago today, the ground shook violently, causing some of the most devastating losses known to the Bay Area. And now this question, could today's infrastructure withstand a quake just as powerful as Loma Prieta? Night Beat's Andrea Borbo joins us now. She's in San Francisco, and she's been looking into this for us tonight. Andrea?
Well, Veronica, I'm standing here where Bay, Fillmore, and Cervantes meet. If you think back 29 years ago, this is where we learned the term soft story, about those buildings with a first floor that is basically empty with housing above it. This is where these buildings collapsed during the Loma Prieta earthquake. Tonight, we wanted to find out how many buildings like this in San Francisco still aren't ready for the next quake.
When the San Andreas Fault popped at 5:04 p.m. on October 7, 1989, the images of earthquake destruction hit television screens worldwide as San Francisco literally shifted on its foundation. Rescue workers digging through rubble, buckled sidewalks, and soft-story apartment buildings pancaked to the asphalt, first floors obliterated and second floors propped off sidewalks by 2x4s. Getting every soft-story building in San Francisco retrofitted is the goal of San Francisco Building Inspection Director Tom Hui. Loma Prieta was his second day on the job in San Francisco, and even today, he still feels the urgency to prepare for the next big one.
Earthquake is, you know, people say, you know, maybe every 30 years, but actually can occur anytime.
According to a new report released by DBI today, there are 424 soft-story buildings in San Francisco that still, 29 years after Loma Prieta, that are not compliant with the city's retrofit guidelines.
100% is the target for us, but we those people don't comply, we will going to go through the code enforcement.
First, that means a warning letter, then a sign like this slapped on the building, and eventually tenants can stop paying rent on non-compliant buildings and liens will be levied.
We want to make sure those buildings will be, you know, improved for any seismic event.
You can see the starkly new buildings all around the marina, like at Two Cervantes, where soil liquefaction during the earthquake did in the soft story buildings. According to the Conference on Earthquake Engineering, an older soft story building that hasn't been retrofitted has a 1 in 4 chance of collapse during a major shake. But a building with even a minimal retrofit job only has a 1 in 35 chance of collapsing. Hui admits the cost to retrofit a building can be high, but the cost of not retrofitting is much higher.
We should not stop right there after finish the soft story. We have lots of other work to do.
Now, Hui says after the soft stories all get retrofitted here in the city of San Francisco, he is not done. He is next taking a look at non-ductile concrete structures here in the city, as well as buildings that have steel welded frames as his next goal to make sure San Francisco is more prepared for the next shake. On the Night Beat in San Francisco, I'm Andrea Borba.
Coming up, a growing mess for a major project. Tonight, the agency overseeing the Transbay Transit Center facing a new lawsuit, and it's not even related to the cracked beams.
And some of the most popular burger chains in America failed to pass an antibiotics report card. I'll reveal which ones after the break.
And self-driving cars, well, they're the future. But what happens when they get pulled over?
And, hello. In the weather department, good to see you again, by the way. In the weather department, we have got changes in store coming next week. All the details when we come back.